continue to believe. We ask that you continue to speak a fresh word to our hearts as we give our tithes and offerings for the mission and ministry of your church. Continue to be with us as we listen to your preached word and respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing. We're going to read our scriptorial passage together from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 15 through 19. Let us prepare our hearts, and let me also ask you to join me in thanking our praise band. They have shared with all three services. Our choir is on a sabbatical for 1 week, but they'll be back next week. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts as we read God's word together. It's also printed on the screen as well as in your bulletin. Let us share together as we read God's word. God's message came to me. You son of man, take a stick and write on it for Judah with his Israelites companions, and then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, Ephraim's stick, together with all of his Israelites' companions. Then tie the two together so that you're holding one stick. When your people ask you, are you going to tell us what you're doing? Tell them, God the Master says, watch me. I will take the Joseph stick that is in Ephraim's hand with the tribes of Israel connected with him and lie the Judah stick on it. I'll make them into one stick. I'm holding one stick. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, One Kingdom, One King. One Kingdom, One King. Say the title with me. One Kingdom, One King. Amen. We're getting ready now tomorrow to celebrate another Memorial Day, a time of remembrance of those heroes and sheroes who have given the ultimate sacrifice, who have outrun us to our Father's house. This is nothing new, but it's a sense of us remembering. And all throughout this beautiful country in which we live, we have monuments to memorialize and to remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. If you think for a moment, even in our own community, and it's in walking distance from our church, there's a memorial park where we can go there and remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Here you have there, right there, where soldiers who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, family members come there and gather there to remember them. I hope, hopefully you've seen the document as it relates yesterday that was on television. The documentary dealt with a reunion that's going to take place on tomorrow, where you have soldiers who are alive who will remember those fallen soldiers who was with them in the foxhole on the battlefield, who ultimately lost their lives. It is a time for soldiers to come in a sense of a great reunion to remember their fallen friends. Well, I want to call your attention to how we indeed continue to memorialize those around our world. In January, we always have a day that we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In February, we remember President George Washington and President Abraham Lincoln. And the list goes on. And so why do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Because we will soon forget. We will soon forget. We must continue to remember those who have paved the way for freedom, liberty, and justice for all. Amen? Well, indeed, as I stated, a reunion is getting ready to take place on Monday. Summertime has that way of having reunions to be carried out through the summer months. known as family reunions or class reunions, a time when people will come from near and far to share and to recall. One man, he was so outdone, he said he received the invitation, but he was nowhere in the world was he going to his class reunion, his high school class reunion. He felt that he was really too old and he didn't want to deal with that at all. He wouldn't remember the folks and he didn't want to have anything to do with it at all. He recalled that someone said, when you go back to class reunions, you'll experience three things. Former classmates who are gray, wrinkled, and bald. He didn't want to have anything to do with that. They wouldn't even recognize him. It reminds me of two ladies. They had gone back to their class reunion. One was located in the north corner and the other was in the south corner. They had come back for their class reunion. Both of them were in love, deeply in love with the same guy, the star athlete. So much so that one received him and the other didn't. Well, guess what? One was crying that she had him and the other was crying that she let him go. You just never know how those things are going to work out. Well, look at this passage of scripture for Ezekiel. Is looking at a great reunion to take place. A great reunion with great anticipation. And Ezekiel finds himself there as the object, if you will, as he relates and shares two sticks becoming one and going to have a great reunion. I call your attention to your sermon notes, and the first bullet point is a question and an answer that you should immediately know, because I shared it last week. Who is Ezekiel? Who is Ezekiel? Well, let me help you fill in the blank. A prophet and a priest and a major prophet. His name means strengthened by God. He was led by God to a valley of dead dry bones. This happened around 589 B.C. Ezekiel was called first. He comes out of a priestly family, and 5 years later, God called him to be a prophet. In fact, it was God who had chosen him and placed him in that valley of dead, dry bones. No life. No sense of celebration, no hoopla or fanfare, if you will. He was in a valley of dead, dry bones. Let me ask you a question, then I want you to ask your neighbor this question. When you take a world's view, world's point of view, when you look at the world, what do you see? Ask your neighbor that question. Yeah. What do you see? What do you see when you look at the world? You heard about the chaos situation that occurred in Mississippi. And we know what happened in England. And we also are familiar, unfortunately, about a man who was so out of his mind that he decided to drive on a sidewalk and kill innocent people. Seems as though God's world continues to get out of hand. Lawlessness is running rapid around this great world. But yet God is still in control. Perhaps you're familiar with the Civil War, the North versus the South. And it wasn't until after the Civil War when they laid all their weapons down and stopped that inward fighting in this great country that they decided to have what we know today as Memorial Day. To remember, to reflect, to make this nation one nation under whom? God. When we get back to God, we can see our world a little clearer. Look at the text. Ezekiel deals with the valley experience. He's dealing with those dead, dry bones. He is now told by God to share a fresh word. And I don't know about you, but there's moments in my life that the only thing can help is the Word of God. Reading and studying God's Word, praying according to God's Word, living according to God's Word can carry us through. Amen? Look at Ezekiel. He's prophesying in a valley of dead, dry bones. I'm going to talk about those sticks in a minute. But a valley of dead, dry bones. Here is Ezekiel. God plants him there and places him there, as I stated last week. And it is God who's doing the directing. When we order our steps according to the will and the way of God, we will see God's kingdom at hand. We just finished that prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Look at Ezekiel prophesying to those bones. He's sharing. And the question that comes out of this passage is, can these bones live? And the answer is yes. Yes. Look how these bones came together. They're just chilling out doing their thing, aren't they? But because they responded to the word of God and God breathed into them the breath of life. That's what God wants to do when we feel like we're in a hopeless situation, when we're in despair and feel down and out, or know someone else who needs a fresh word from the Lord. God wants to use you and me as his instruments to speak a fresh word into the lives of others who are experiencing a period of drought. Let me help you fill in the blanks as it relates to Christians responding this way in this little nugget. The first bone is the tailbone. And if you have your Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 58th verse. It reminds me that God is calling us to be faithful, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord. Know that your labor is not in what? Vain. It'll pay off after a while. We're to work our tails off. And then the next one is the hip bone, to be movable, continue to move, and know it's God who continues to give us all of the ingredients that we need. It was the Apostle Paul who came and said, because of him I live, I move, and I have my beings. But then look at the next bone, the finger bone. Get your finger out and do like this, just point up this way. Guess what? You got three coming back at you. Yeah. When we want to criticize with our finger, we must remember God has not called us to be critics. He called us to lift our fingers up and give him the praise and the glory. Amen. And to have backbone, to be willing to stand before the world and say, for God I live, and for God I die. Trusting in God. And the next is the jawbone. The jawbone. Lord, guide my mouth and guide my tongue. Let your Holy Spirit continue to give me a filter to know what to say at the right time. To have words of inspiration, words of encouragement, not words of condemnation, but words that will lift people up and make them have a relationship with you. And then look at the last one, the knee bone. How many of you know that every knee shall what? Bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he Lord over your home? Is he Lord over your life? Is he Lord over the church? Jesus Christ should be Lord. He should be first. For the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not some things, but all things shall be added unto you. Now look at Ezekiel, the 37th chapter and the 15th verse. And when you look at that, you'll see how Ezekiel... And I like the way the King James translation pointed out. It says, again, Ezekiel receives a word from the Lord. He tells Ezekiel, get two sticks. One representing Israel, the chosen nation. And the other one representing whom? Ephraim. That's important because they first glance, you'll notice that they are two. But at once upon a time, they were one. They come from the same family, have the same descendants. Now, you don't have to look at the television to see a soap opera or a drama being played out as it relates to family tension and family pressure. Here's Israel, and here's Ephraim. Israel is the chosen nation. But Israel, as a chosen nation, was guided by God. They were blessed by God. And guess what happened? They forgot God. And they started worshiping idol gods. So God decided that he would allow them to be captured by the Babylonians. But it wasn't just the Babylonians, mind you. If you look closely in the Bible, you'll see it was six other countries that came together, a collaboration. They came together in order to capture Israel. And guess who was one of those countries? Ephraim. Same descendants. They enslaved their own relatives. Why is this important? Look what God is getting ready to do. Ephraim is an offspring of Esau. Esau was the firstborn. Esau was entitled, you're talking about a sense of entitlement, he was entitled to all of the blessings as it relates to the descendants from the family. But what did he do? He sold his birthright to Jacob for a cup of soup. God was not pleased. Ephraim comes from Esau. Esau would never have any more descendants once God decided to bring them back together. It is God who is telling his prophet. He's telling the prophet to bind these sticks together. Make these sticks one stick. Why? Because God wants to have unity. If our country is one united kingdom, one united country, what do you think about God? God wants to have one kingdom, not two, not northern Israel or southern Judea, but he wants to have one kingdom. And it's God who is doing it. You look closely in the Bible and you'll see around the 21st verse, God reminds them that I'm going to have one kingdom and there's only going to be one king. And guess who's going to be that king? The Lord. He is going to be that king. And it's played out all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He reminds us that only he can be king on the throne. Guess what? If you ever thought you were going to be king or queen, don't worry. It's already taken. It is God. Amen. God is the king on the throne. He wants us to be one, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I love the way that Revelation points this out, and I'm going to ask you to read this passage with me from Revelation. It is a beautiful passage of scripture from Revelation, the 17th chapter and the 14th verse. Let us read it together. He is the Lord of lords and the kings of kings, and those who are with him are called what? Chosen and faithful. That's it. Chosen bones, being called by God, being chosen by God, and faithful bones, if you want to write it down. That's what we are. Why? Because we already have acknowledged him as Lord of lords and kings of kings. I like to conclude by sharing with you, S.M. Lockhart says it this way. It's a beautiful litany. The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He is the king of Israel. He is the king of the righteous. He is the king of the age. He is king of heaven. He's king of glory. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway of peace. He is the highway of holiness. He is the gateway to glory. Well, this king continues to define all odds. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they couldn't find out how to stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And grave couldn't hold him. Because he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised as our